We faced so much destruction this week, haven't we? The death of our dreams that we live in an America that cares about human rights, that cares about our planet and the dignity and worth of all. While at the same time, several in our community have lost property and the sense of safety as the Santa Ana winds howl and the very ground we live on has been burning up. To have the election results and the mountain fire all arise at once almost feels like the end of times, doesn't it? And meanwhile, our hearts break again. Because our country has seemingly chosen to turn a blind eye to authoritarianism, climate change, violence, guns, the abuse of power, racism, hatred, misogyny, the stripping of women's and human rights, not to mention the desecration of our beautiful planet. And we now face likely a future of mass deportation, targeting, suppression of freedoms, and losing our protections as women and LGBTQ+ folk. We're afraid of what will happen to our earth and to the international community. And we're concerned about living in an America that may become more violent, cruel, and heartless. An America that works for the few, but not for the many. An America that doesn't represent our Unitarian Universalist values, principles, and hopes. And our hearts break that over half of those who voted could sanction such an agenda over a brighter future for all beings and our planet. And yet the extraordinary thing is that those who voted for that future don't see it that way. That we literally live in two completely different realities. They believe this is the best choice for our country and our future. But my friends, I invite you to take heart, to take a deep breath in and a collective exhale through our mouths. Because we are made for these times. We are made for these times. And it may not feel like that right now, but we've been preparing ourselves for these last 8 years of increasingly unstable, difficult times to strengthen our spirits, to embolden our hearts, and to learn to dig deep for courage and for grounding. We are made for these times. We've been living deeper into our mission of nurturing spiritually courageous people who transform the world through justice and compassion. And we've been fortifying each other, holding one another in love and care, and deepening our spiritual practices through chaos, then the pandemic, then increasing climate disasters and violence in our country and around the world. And through it all, we've been uncovering more of our strength, our flexibility, our grounding, and our courage. We are made for these times. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And though many of these circumstances are similar to 2016, the world is different now. And we know what to expect. We know that what seemed like unbelievable rhetoric and preposterous behavior has hardened into powerful, autocratic, dangerous tendencies. But my beloveds, I hope we've had a chance to feel and express many of our feelings this week. Feelings of hopelessness, despair, and grief. Feelings of numbness, helplessness, and anger. Because this is the time to feel all those feelings, to be present to them and allow them to move through us. This is the time to mourn the loss of the hope-filled future that we've been working so hard for. A brighter future for ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, and the planet. So don't be ashamed about those feelings. It's natural to feel hopeless, to feel angry or depressed at a time like this, to feel like all the progress that we've made might be lost. And to wonder why we need to take so many steps backwards when we fought so hard to move forward. This, my beloveds, is the time to mourn. Because our grief is a reflection of what we hold dear, of what we love and might lose. So let's allow ourselves to grieve this week, this month, and even perhaps a little longer. We need to grieve not only because it will make us more psychologically healthy in the long run, but to uncover our strength underneath, our peace, our inner peace, and our clarity that lives deep within us, deeply underneath the sorrow. And we need to rest, and we need to support our health in whatever way we can. And then when we've cried our tears and expressed the range of our feelings, we must pick ourselves up because we are being called to rise up again throughout the next few years. Amen. We must build the spiritual muscle of our UU faith because we are being called to advocate for what we know is right and kind. We are being called to champion our values of freedom, of inclusion, of justice, love, and compassion. And grief and resilience can coexist, my friends. We can be scared and courageous at the same time. We can be brokenhearted, broken open, and unbreakable all at once. Authoritarians want us to be afraid. They want us to be stuck in our feelings of despair and feel isolated and exhausted by the chaos. And of course, many of us are dealing with exhaustion from years of fighting this threat already. And they want us to feel helpless, hopeless, and exhausted. So are we going to stay stuck there?
No.
Are we?
No.
Let us recommit ourselves to our purpose, to being good people and to doing good in the world. Are you with me? Because what we hear from people living in authoritarian regimes is that good psychology leads to good social change. And good psychology involves feeling our feelings, allowing them to move through us, and then making space for what is needed next. Good psychology asks us to pay attention to our inner states, to how we are doing, and nourish ourselves daily. So we don't succumb to overwhelm, isolation, exhaustion, disorientation, or fear. And while things may seem grim, as President Obama said last time, the sun rises every day, and we are blessed. We are blessed to live in such a beautiful place, surrounded by loving, caring people. And most importantly, my friends, we get to be in community together to support and strengthen one another. Every one of the post-election triage groups that met this week emphasized this is not a time to go it alone. And I'm so glad to see the newcomers here amongst us. Welcome. Everyone needs community at this time. Community to cook and care for each other. Community to listen and be a space, a safe space for one another. Community to hold and encourage each other. Community to rise up together. And for those of us who gathered together here on Wednesday in the face of this week's events, I know we felt better, didn't we? We got to cry and rage and hold each other while we ate candied apples made by Ruth Ann over there. We got to share empowering readings and tender hugs with each other. We got to be together as people needed to evacuate their homes, even when we had no power here. We're a community where we can share our joys and sorrows, where we can laugh and dance and cry and be our full selves and loved just as we are, every single one of us. And that is a huge gift in this time. We're not alone in this fight, and we have each other. So we must come together, my friends, and draw on our loving, resilient community for strength and sustenance, When you're feeling down, come here. We must let go of petty differences and band together at this time. We need one another. Because from that place of solidity in this community, from this place of courage and hope, we will rise. We must turn despair into repair. Thank you, Merlin, for that. Repair, repair our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for the long road ahead so we can rise. We're ready this time. We've been strengthening our hearts and souls. We've been readying our spirits for this fight. And just like the sun rises again and again after a dark night, so will we. Remember that the night is often at its darkest before the dawn. And maybe the universe is providing these challenges before for us to practice strengthening our light, to grow fierce love, powerful love, a love that will not let our planet, our homes, our friends, our neighbors, and our fellow humans be destroyed. A love that is greater than all the hate and cruelty we see. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So let us take that powerful love we share here out into the world and act as fierce, loving protectors and allies to those who need it most. Those of us who are white, cisgender, heteronormative, and financially stable folks here are privileged. And I invite us not to forget that. In fact, I invite us to take that privilege and care for those who are marginalized. We are a home for our LGBTQ plus siblings, and I know many of you amongst us are scared. You are welcome here. We're a home for immigrants fearing deportation. You are welcome here. We're a home for people of color seeking refuge. You are welcome here. We're a home for women looking for safety and autonomy over their own bodies. You are welcome here. We're a home for those who are afraid, those who are suicidal and desperate and don't know where to turn. You are welcome here. We're a home for those who need help in whatever way. Bring your broken heart here. You are welcome here, and you will be held in love and care. And for those who grieve our beautiful planet that holds us all, fearing that climate protections will be removed, we must double down in our care for our larger home, our planet Earth, because we can see firsthand right here in our community how much she needs our care at this time. My friends, our voices of love will not be lost in the fires of hate. We are the side with love people, after all, right? We put love at the center of all we do, right? We can't forget that. We can't forget the promise of who we are. We are love in action. So when you feel the world is coming undone, get out and do something about it. It's a time-tested remedy for depression and hopelessness. Find something you care about, get out, and like Michelle Obama said, do something. Help someone less fortunate, serve another human being, advocate for those who are marginalized. Our role is not to save the whole world, but to find a corner of our world we can control. Get out into the community and do something. Bring love. Grow the love within you. Get involved in whatever solution you feel called toward. Our work is clear. Our fellowship's mission is to be spiritually courageous. And now more than ever, we need that courage, don't we? Courage for the long haul. And yes, I know we've fought so hard to turn things around for so long to make this world better for everyone. But history shows us, my friends, that these fights for human rights and a better world often take a long time. Remember that our Unitarian ancestors helped support the Underground Railroad to assist enslaved people escaping to the northern states, and that ending slavery in the United States unfortunately took hundreds of years. But they never gave up. And remember the brave Unitarian women, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Mary Safford, Lucy Stone, and Susan B. Anthony, who fought for the 19th Amendment and women's right to vote over a period of 90 years? Remember to never give up on women's rights and the collective good. And remember that Martin Luther King Jr. was arrested at least 30 times, and the civil rights struggle took decades and is still ongoing in many ways, and some of you were a part of it, and you never gave up, right, Gordon? Nelson Mandela said, "Do not judge me by my successes. Judge me by how many times I fell down and got back up again." We need a steadfast commitment to getting back up again and again, to never giving up our vision of a kinder, more just world. As our Unitarian forefather Theodore Parker said, and it was later quoted by Martin Luther King Jr., "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." We must keep the faith that though this journey is long, our arc will eventually bend towards justice, love, and light. And we must never give up. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Our work, my friends, is clear. We are here to serve love, to serve humanity, and to serve our planet. We are here to raise consciousness and shine our light in the face of adversity and hate. We are here to step into our full loving power, to be a beacon to all that will diminish the light. And meanwhile, I invite us to ask ourselves every day, how can we center love? And how can we live out our UU values of justice, equity, transformation, pluralism, interdependence, and generosity in our everyday? Eco-activist Joanna Macy writes, "It's that knife edge of uncertainty where we come alive to our truest power." So today is going to go a bit long, but I hope that's okay with you, because there are only certain days like this in our calendars of life. So I invite you to take a moment to stand if you are able, and stretch and feel the power of your body beneath you, and feel your feet on the ground. Stand up for a moment. And stretch a little bit. You are here, my friends. We are here together. Take some deep breaths and take a look around at all of these loving people surrounding you. You are not alone in this. We have each other. Breathe in and breathe out. And then when you've had enough of a stretch, please sit down. In closing, I want to remind us of the powerful words of the poet, psychology, and activist Clarissa Pinkola Estes, called "We Were Made for These Times" from her iconic book, Women Who Run with the Wolves. And we're just going to hear an excerpt now, but I encourage you to read all of it. Estes reminds us we are strong, seaworthy ships who are built for these times, and that we can look out over the prow and see millions of boats of righteous souls on the waters with us. She cautions us not to spend our energy on being overwhelmed or weakened by what there is to do, but instead to raise our sails high to ride the winds and waves. And she suggests that it doesn't take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace. but only a small, determined group who will not give up during the first, second, or hundredth gale. And she writes, one of the most calming and powerful actions you can do to intervene in a stormy world is to stand up and show your soul. Soul on deck shines like gold in dark times. And to display the lantern of soul in shadowy times like these, to be fierce and to show mercy towards others, both are acts of immense bravery and greatest necessity. Because struggling souls catch light from other souls who are fully lit and willing to show it. If you would help calm the tumult, this is one of the strongest things you can do. And she says, there will always be times when you feel discouraged. But there can be no despair when you remember why you came to earth and whom you serve. When a great ship is in harbor and moored, it is safe. There can be no doubt. But that is not what great ships are built for. So let us take a moment to breathe in Estes's image of the great ships that we all are. Breathe that in, and that we have been built to be strong, seaworthy, and courageous. And now exhale. Breathe in that we are bright souls built to shine our light. We are resilient and made to serve one another and our earth. And then breathe out. My friends, gather together in community. Prepare your body, your heart and mind with whatever spiritual practices ground you. Exercise, meditate, eat good food, get out into nature to regenerate and pursue what brings you joy. Do anything that fortifies your spirit and that keeps your inner flame alive. My beloveds, may we hold hands and steady one another as we sail forth into these uncharted waters. May the light of our souls shine so brightly that we serve as an inspiration to those who despair in the dark. And may we indeed embody the future we wish to create and be beacons of light that serve as lighthouses during this time. May it be so.